What is happening? Welcome to the Post Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is August 11th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Before I begin, I apologize, of course, Monday, no list and no Plus Pitch Podcast. Just to be completely frank, there are a lot of things going on in my personal life. Nothing bad. You don't need to worry. I mean, yes, I did tear my Achilles tendon, and that did, you know, has taken a lot more time than I expected, and it has slowed other things down too. But it's just one of those situations where there's just a lot going on, and there are certain times in life where you have to step back and you have to say, like, look, I need to focus on these other things for a moment. I apologize about it. I'm trying as best I can to get back into a good routine. But at the end of the day, we do have the lockout coming in March, and there are a lot of things changing. And if you are a fan of what we do here, if you're listening to this and you want us to continue strong and continue to provide you with more and more, from adding more full-time staffers to give you more consistent content and quality content, to improving our PL Pro experience, which is already getting a big upgrade next week. I can't go into it too much right now, but so excited about it. Please consider supporting us, not just by getting a PL Plus or a PL Pro subscription, but also word of mouth and everything, and really ensuring that this community that we have built, where I will continue to be a voice and not and be supportive and inclusive, and to really work as hard as I can to constantly add things to your subscriptions without costing more. Please consider supporting us as word of mouth in your communities, and also be that representation of our community when you might see my name or Pitcher's name slung in the mud for no good reason. That is how we can be that company and that place together. So thank you all so much for really, I've seen it before where you guys have stepped up, and I can't thank you all enough. And really, it's going to mean so much to us next year when we know that we are going to take probably a 25 to 30% drop in revenue in many ways next year because of the lockout. It's just how it goes. So thank you all so much for your help. All right. So, Michael Soroka yesterday, 4.1 innings of 0 runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks, returned from the IL. The biggest thing that I'm a little bit worried about is that his strike rate on his curveball went down to 48%. That is the number one pitch for Soroka. It is the biggest thing that I get really amped about, because also his command of it is so good typically, and it wasn't here. He really didn't trust this against right-handers. That is a very big shock. Just 20% usage against right-handed batters is just not typical at all for Michael Soroka, going with sinkers and cutters and four-seamers more so. I mean, four-seamers a little bit less, but you understand the point. Not the guy I want, and now he goes into Atlanta. So I would probably wait one more start before activating Michael Soroka if I could. You have Jameson Taillon, really unfortunate here. He was telling me how good he felt in the bullpen before, and excited about this one, excited to be on the Jays. And 4 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 3 walks, 3 Ks, feeling great. But, yes, he was removed with forearm soreness. We don't know. We're getting an MRI. Hopefully it's okay. I feel just so bad for him. He's just had this up and down season. And I still believe that he was tipping with the Cubs, with men on base. And I think that was fixed. And that's kind of what explains a lot of the hittability before. I just feel so bad for him. He deserves better, and I hope he's okay. Dean Kramer, he is my lead today. It is the creamer of the crop. That is 7 innings, 1 earned run, 1 hits, 1 walk, and 7 Ks. Oh my gosh. This wasn't a revenge game for Dean Kramer against the Baltimore Orioles, who traded him away. And pitching in Minnesota, it was a 19-inch vert on that four-seam. We do not see that. We typically see it at 17 to 18. As he was also at 93.5, which is higher than what we've normally seen, around like 92 and change. So he's about to tick up there from what we've seen recently, and a high strike rate. I mean, 71% on the four-seamer, 70% on the splitter, 73% on the cutter. That is the version of Dean Kramer that I like. That is the one that we are chasing, and I feel very encouraged about this. I mean, the locations of even the curveball to lefties, the splitter to lefties, the cutter away to righties, the four-seamer along the edge. So we had a really nice backdoor sinker for a called strike 3 to right-hander. It was really, really beautiful. Now he gets the Phillies and the Padres. I would consider this as a questionable start in your 12-teamers. 15-teamers, I feel like absolutely on Sunday, if you still have that option, you should go for it. He was a questionable one for me, very questionable with the 15-team two-step. I felt that he still had it in him, and boy, was that better than I expected. Reed Detmers against the Rangers is kind of interesting because, A, he got his velocity back. That was the biggest concern I had last time. He was at 92 and change. This was 94. Good to see. Is the slider doing things again? It wasn't really last time. Yes, 22% swing strike, actually 23% with a 68% strike rate. The four seamer wasn't good though. It was a sub 60% strike rate, just a 22% CSW there. The changeup did a little bit more than we usually see, but this really was the slider returning. As long as the slider is good against weak teams, Reed Detmers will do well. He's going to host the Royals next. I'm down for that. Then at Texas, which is good. And then against the Guardians. All of that is very good, as a slider should take down all of those teams. You have Blade Tibwell. This is the biggest surprise, I think, from last night. It wasn't that Blade Tibwell didn't have it in him. Like, we knew that he had an opportunity to be successful, but it's just about, okay, are the fastballs going to be good enough? Is he really going to get all the whiffs and consistency on his secondaries? And this is pretty simple. 5.2 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. He had 16 whiffs. And even a lowish put away rate of 40%, because that makes sense, 16 whiffs to 6 Ks, he had a high near 70% two strike rate. So what that means is that he's getting to two strikes a ton against batters and not putting them away super effectively. And I can actually explain that really easily. The only pitch that was good for him, like actually really good pitch, was the sweeper. And it needs to be for Blade Tibwell. Like, this is the number one pitch in his arsenal. It is the best breaking ball that he has. And the four seamer and sinker, while they are like 94 to 96 between them, they are not exceptional. It is a 17 inch vert at 41 arm angle, which is, I think, average, slightly above average, but not a pitch that should be getting a lot of whiffs. And it had one whiff on 25 thrown. So that should showcase the four seamer not really being that kind of pitch. And the sinker is just whatever. So those are trying to be called strike pitches, and they were 36% on the four seamer, 22 on the sinker, and they generated far more outs than they should. While that sweeper, as I was mentioning before, it needs to be that number one pitch. This was bonkers. 12 on 39 thrown were whiffs. 12 whiffs on 39 thrown. He was doing a great job of getting it away from these right-handed Houston Astros pitchers, but sometimes, I mean, Altuve swinging at these, like, way outside of the box. We saw some bad swings from Cam Smith and Jeremy Pena as well. And when you think about this, it was inside of Oracle Park for a guy with a sweeper as his number one pitch getting a right-handed lineup. That's exactly what you want to see. It's not going to stick around, though, because it is against righties. Now, it is Rocky Road in Oracle Park, and that's good, but I'd be careful about this one. I don't think that Blade Tibwell is suddenly amazing. And Mackenzie Gore also had a really good start yesterday against the Angels. On the other side of that game against Detmers, it's kind of interesting. Two of these lefties that we want to do really well. 5.1 innings of 1 run, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 9 strikeouts. 22 whiffs is insane, and this was the changeup game. I cannot express enough how much this shocked me. He threw 22 changeups for 12 whiffs. I was just freaking out about 12 over, 35 thrown from Tidwell's sweeper. This was 22 thrown, same amount of whiffs. Yeah, I hope that sticks around. The Angels are a bad team against pitchers who have good right-handed weapons. And if you have a really good changeup on a day as a lefty, or a really good slider or sweeper against righties, this is what's going to happen. I'm not encouraged by the 53% strike rate on his four-seamer. And I'm happy that the slider was really good down and away to lefties. That's awesome. The curveball was kind of whatever. It was there. It got two whiffs on bounced pitches to Jose Siri that should not have been swung at. So I'm not thinking of this as like the game for Gord is back. This is like the changeup game against the Angels. And now he goes into Sacre Verde. I do not want to say that he's going to just continue. He's back and all. He had a really bad four-seamer. This thing was not, it was way too high a ton. And the changeup just cooked and the slider cooked. Okay. All right. But like, I can't get behind this. I'm really sorry, Mackenzie Gore. I was really excited for this game of Hunter Dobbins against Andrew Painter. And Hunter Dobbins, last time out, if you remember, I was talking about this with Eno on The Craft. Hunter Dobbins was throwing this cut four-seamer out of nowhere. And he had such an amazing command going inside to lefties and then down and away to lefties. And just the whole game plan was incredible. This was a lot worse. Now, the final line is good. 5 innings of 1 run, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 6 Ks. There was an error. I believe it was Dobbins throwing it to first, and he just got it and then just threw it away. And that led to 2 runs in the second inning. But yeah, it was this game. And otherwise, I mean, that was not the command, though, that I normally see. Now, the cut action is still there. Negative 2 horizontal on that four-seamer. It really is a cutter now. It's at 93. It's down two ticks. It was at 95 last game. Like, I'm not just saying this because he's now throwing this cut action. It was at 94.5. And it's not exactly what I want to see from Hunter Dobbins. I will say that it was very hot yesterday. It was 92 degrees, and it's possible that that affected him. But I'm less encouraged now than I was before, as I'm not really seeing the same kind of command across the board, especially with the splitter. I mean, the splitter was just hung upstairs. I'm seeing the lower velocity. It's not as encouraging. I'm okay with starting him in St. Louis against weaker teams. He goes into Wrigley. I'm not a fan of that. Going back against the Phils, it really depends on if Hunter Dobbins can get back into that rhythm with his command. You have Jacob Lopez looking great. 7 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. He allowed a home run to Yandy Diaz on the first batter of the game, and then he came out, he finished the 7th, and he had ground outs for another run. Like, it was 2 singles, and they came around to score, and it's just like, all right, whatever. There was a throwing error in there, too, but it would have been a sack fly. Long story short, like, it's so interesting seeing bookends for a guy's start. Like, you have the first batter allowing a home run, then you have a run scoring essentially like your last pitch or so. And it's great that we're seeing Jacob Lopez still do the same game plan for 5 starts now. This is also the longest one. We saw this for 4.1 innings, 5 innings, 5.1, 5, now 7. He's up to 93 pitches. Then again, he was at 97 in previous ones. And I will mention, it is a little surprising that he was able to be so efficient, because he had a cutter that was only 43% strikes in this game. And that meant that the four-seamer had to show up for 70% strikes. And those should be flipped. The four-seamer at around 50% strikes is actually what we want to see, which means that he is teasing batters out of the zone while the cutter should come back over and in the zone. He didn't have this feel. He had to flip it, and it wasn't as good. But the sweeper, rather the slider, whatever you want to call that thing, at 75, 76 miles per hour, yeah, that was disgusting. It was getting underneath bats more so than expected. It was staying low a ton, and it's Jacob Lopez in rhythm. I mean, we saw this last year, guys. I can't express enough now. It's 5 games. What do we get? Last year, it was, 13 games of, like, a 2.11 ERA and a 31% K rate. Well, 5 games now, it's a 2.36 ERA, 109 whip, and a 29% K rate. It is that stretch happening again. And what does he get next? He hosts the Rangers. Then he goes in to Houston, which is great. And then he hosts the Twins. Sign me up everywhere. Casey Mize against the Brewers for his new team, the Padres. I was a little bit worried that the velocity would not be there, and it was still not there. 92.8, not 94. At least not like 91.9 or so, but it's down. The vert is up. The slider command is questionable. It was a 62% strike rate, 35% CSW and called strikes, but it wasn't really well spotted. And it wasn't a good splitter. 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks, right? For Casey Mize with 6 whiffs. I'm feeling weirded out. Now, it is the Guardians next. He's going to get a lot of lefties in that next start. It's going to really rely on that splitter working. And I hope it's there. I hope it is. But if the velocity is still questionable, I feel like there's something up with Casey Mize still. He has had a lot of injury across his career, and especially even this season. He's already had 2 IL stints. I hope it's all right. I mean, I have him as questionable. Sonny Gray did not have a sunny day, but it was more of a gray day, but it was a sunny result. 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. I don't think he pitched nearly as well as I've seen the last 3. The sweeper, which is supposed to be the pitch, yeah, you didn't use it enough in 2 strike counts. Only a 29% put away rate, despite getting to 2 strikes in over half of the batters he faced. And that sweeper was 1 whiff on 18 thrown. Not ideal. A lot of sinkers and curveballs and cutters and four-seamers. Just everything was over the plate a lot. And I think he got away with a ton against the Jays. So it's fine to go against the Pirates, who are a much worse offense now. You have the Giants and then you have the Marlins as well. I'm okay with it. Just like be a little bit wary of it. All right. We have other guys, of course, to talk about. We have Andrew Painter. Who I cannot express is a very interesting game. We have Trevor Rogers. We have Hayden Wesneski, Logan Henderson, Freddie Peralta. We have a lot of guys to talk about. We're going to talk about all of them and more after this break. Andrew Painter, he had this really interesting return to the majors, and then he had a very disappointing start. And in interesting return, it was far fewer fastballs with a new changeup. Then the second start, shorter start, but a lot more fastballs and bad secondaries. And then this third one is a middle ground, because still about 30% fastballs, which I wanted to be 20%, but the new changeup was way better. As far as results go, 71% strikes, 18% swing strike rate. It was his most thrown pitch at 30% usage, 41% against lefties. Oh my gosh. And it's getting involved against righties. It is not being located great. It is up way too much. It is not that down and away one that we want to see. Sweepers and sliders, though, are really well located to right-handers. He's got that down. So I am encouraged that you are getting a Painter who is more focused on that breaking ball approach to right-handers. What we are seeing there is that 30%, actually more 40% against right-handers, which is a little interesting, but you should be throwing some sinkers inside too. He didn't really do that. But the slider and the sweeper are getting involved there, and they're locating down away effectively, while the changeup needs to be better against lefties. That's really it. And the slider and the sweeper were kind of weird too there. I can see it. I'm fine with it. It was at St. Louis, which is good. It's at Minnesota next. I think I'm okay with that one. That's a questionable start. Trevor Rogers, unfortunately, only went four innings. Why? Because he hit two batters in that fourth inning, and his changeup had a, 31% strike rate. That's it. That's what happened here. So take that as you will. 95 on the four-seamer, but he went four innings, two earned runs, four hits, two walks, and four Ks with just 79 pitches. So he didn't face a single lefty. He had that changeup really down. And he just, like, he didn't get quite enough, right? All of his, 13% zone rate on the changeup, but only 21% O-swing, but didn't really bounce too many, right? He just had it too low. Wasn't also away enough as well. It was very close to it, right? Meanwhile, the four-seamer going upstairs a ton, as it should. 95 again, increased velocity. Sam also increased the velocity on the changeup up a tick to 88. He has a sweeper going downstairs, and it was good there. It's just that changeup was the only thing. The velocity, I think, is a bigger deal. And the fact that he's at 7 feet of extension, which is also higher than it was, you should be like 6.6 or so. Is that like 7 now? Which is really cool. So I wonder if there's something more to this for Trevor Rogers, and I would not be dropping him. Oh my gosh, please don't do that. Haydu Wesneski in San Francisco was a popular streaming play. Now, Wesneski is interesting. What I liked about him in the previous one was a textbook move locations around the zone. This in Oracle should go well, and it was 7 innings, 3 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. We will take this all day. Yes, it's not the greatest ERA, but it's a 1 whip, 4 Ks. He didn't get a win, but it's fine. Now, did he command well? No, I don't really think he did. I think he did with his sweeper away to right-handers, and that's about it. I didn't like the cutter and the four-seamer to lefties. I didn't like the sinker. It didn't really get inside enough to right-handers. I don't think the sweeper does enough to lefties. I think he got away with a lot. So if he goes against right-handed lineups, okay. He gets the Mariners and the Athletics next, both in Houston. Maybe? I'll put him as a questionable, but I don't see this as him starting his ascension. I see this as, hey, you still have to get back what you showcased last time. I hope you can. Because it was sub 60% strikes in both the sweeper and the cutter. 70% on the four-seamer, but the four-seamer is dead zone. Like, it's not a good four-seamer. You shouldn't be throwing this 93, 94 mile per hour pitch with bad vert and bad movement. Yeah, it's just overall, not enough. It was the command that got me going last time, which he didn't have here. Logan Henderson, oh my gosh. He went against the Padres, and there were two home runs. It was 6.1, rather. 3 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 7 Ks. He allowed a solo shot to Ty France that was a changeup that was middle of the plate. And then he allowed a 2-run shot in the 7th. After getting a quick out, he allowed another Ty France hit because he's just the hottest hitter ever. And then you have Jackson Merrill hitting a changeup that was just right there. Oh my gosh. Gave it a ride, and then he walked the next batter and got pulled. Okay, so that is everything with Logan Henderson. The real test now is up next against the Dodgers and Atlanta. I'm starting him. I hope he's going to get the ace. He's going to ace at the end of that. You have Freddy Peralta against the Athletics in Sacramento. It's the second half of the Green Mile that is Coors and then Sacramento. This was much better. And the thing I said when the Rays traded for Freddy Peralta was pretty clear. hey, they are going to throw more changeups with Freddy Peralta. That's just how the Rays have acted. They like their changeups to both right-handers and left-handers. And what do you know? The last two games for Freddy Peralta have a 31% and a 37% changeup rate against all batters, both sides of the plate. And that was in the previous ones, like 20%, right? And it's gone up in both right-handed and left-handed usage. Not a surprise. Was it a good changeup? 58% strikes. He's figuring it out. And honestly, I think it would have been a higher strike rate if he hadn't thrown so many low four-seamers. They weren't changing eye level enough. And 6% swing strike rate, which is 2 over 48 for Peralta's four-seamer, is not what we want to see. Rather, it's 3 over 48. I apologize. And it's just too low. 1.8 high adjusted BAA. You got to get that thing upstairs. You could say that maybe Sacramento is affecting it fine. He hosts the Orioles next, and I really can't emphasize enough, I like that start in the Trop. Why? Because Peralta was just in Coors and in Sacramento, and that four-seamer is going to cook in the Dome. I think you're going to see much better four-seamer performance. I think you're going to see much better changeup performance. That one, I'm interested in. Then we can really see, okay, now he's going at Camden after, and then he's going at the Tigers. So that's 4 road starts in 1 home, which is really unfortunate for Peralta, who's trying to get more out of his four-seamer. And I think that is the one I would actually pick him up for. So the next one for Freddy Peralta, Tarek Skubal. Sorry, buddy. It's not the easiest thing ever being a Dodger, I guess. I don't know. 5 innings, 3 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. Yeah, he had a really, I think, bad sequencing against Jack Caglione. And he threw a bad slider middle, essentially, with an 0-2 count, where it was all strikes, foul balls and stuff. I thought it was weird. That's really the damage that happened here to Ranchepa. He had 5 innings, 300 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks. Tarek Skubal, whatever. Ace is going to ace. The other side of it is way more interesting. Because Noah Cameron went against the Dodgers. It was kind of a test for him because he has been pitching so well. 5.2 innings of 400 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 2 Ks. However, 13 whiffs, 70% put away rate is so frustrating. And a careful Icarus as he allowed 2 runs when he was on the bench after a game pulled in the 6th inning. He almost got out of it. It was a double play that was overturned, so it was just one out, man on second, or rather on first. And then Mookie Betts striking out. And then he allowed a double, second and third, gets removed, and both runs score. There you go. So he was so close to going 6 innings, 200 runs, essentially. And the velocity still there, 93. The command wasn't as sharp, I would say, but some of it was there. And look, he gets at the Los Angeles Angels, then hosts the Tigers, and then at Toronto. So Noah Cameron, I'm still in on that train. Christian Scott really just needs something that's down and low. 4 innings, 400 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, 6 Ks against Atlanta. I was not in on this one. I liked the previous one against the Guardians just because he was figuring something out against lefties. But he still needs to get the curveball or the splitter low. Maybe the sweeper, but the sweeper has too much lift for me to get really excited about it. He only threw 1 curveball and 1 splitter. And there's really like nothing. I would say maybe 15% of the pitches he threw, 20% are low. No, it can't be that. It's got to be less than that. I'd say like 10% or so. And that can't happen, right? You need to change the eye level. He has gained the four-seamer upstairs. That's cool. He's trying to do the Cannibal McSanchez of cutters going above or into the zone to pair with the four-seamer. But the sweeper is just staying up too much. And I'm not a huge fan of that. That's why you see only 1 whiff, actually 2 whiffs on 23 sweepers thrown. I think we needed better than that. And then Bryce Elder got completely bamboozled in the first, and it was a really rough inning for him. Grants I'm included, et cetera, et cetera. Fine. Let's just even ignore the 5 runs in the first inning. It wasn't like he was great for the 4 innings after. It was 2 runs, and it wasn't pitching that well. Like, it was 5 innings, 700 runs, 10 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks. No, I'm not in. And then you also have Gabriel Hughes. Yeah, unfortunately, I got really excited about that one game against the Nationals and Coors, but Gabriel Hughes has not had the same command. And he is that interesting cut fastball, but it wasn't good at Arizona away from Coors. Now he goes into Oracle Park, and it's like, oh, maybe. Stop. 4 innings, 7 runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 3 Ks. And just as a reminder, he had that really interesting start against the Nationals on July 22nd. It was 5 innings of 1 run. Then since it's been 5 innings, 3 runs, 5.1 of 5 runs, 4 innings of 7 runs. Yeah, I can't buy into it at all. Of course, it's a desperate stream against the Giants on Sunday, but you can't do that. He will get a lot of lefties against the Guardians. when he hosts them in Coors the following weekend on August 22nd. But no, I cannot endorse that either. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much, truly, for your support. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.